In our review, we looked last week at Joseph sending his kids down to Egypt. Am I on? Oh, okay. Anyway, he sent them back down to Egypt. And it had been 20 years since Joseph had gone to Egypt, sold into slavery. Benjamin, his birth brother from Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, was about 23 years old now. It doesn't say exactly how Jacob knew that there was food in Egypt, but it must have been just common knowledge at that time because the famine was everywhere. And we don't have a lot of experience with famines here. So we don't understand how terrible that must have been and how people looking for food and couldn't find it. At least enough food and all of what they needed. The boys, there were 11 of them there, and they just kind of looked at each other when Jacob's saying, come on, go, let's go down and get some food. And they just didn't want to go. They're just kind of stunned about the whole thing. They're thinking, hey, we sold Joseph into slavery 20 years ago. We don't want to go down there. We're liable to meet him. And so they're really reticent about this. They still had guilt. They were being unresponsive. But finally, Jacob starts pushing them, and the need for food was very, very strong, and it caused them to finally go down there. You know, what's interesting is that we haven't experienced the famine, so we don't know how bad it is. But Jeremiah writes in Lamentations that the Babylonian siege in 586 BC was so bad that women were eating their babies. That's how bad a famine is. You know, and we just can't imagine that. I mean, we got grocery stores and people can grow things and you can hunt and whatever if you can't get it. Not so over there. Egypt is the Sahara Desert. And the only place that there's a fertile environment is on the banks of the Nile, which will flood and go out quite a ways. But when those Sirocco winds come and the floods don't come, everything gets dried up because it's just basically the desert. So this need for food was very, very strong. And these guys said, okay, well, we're going to go down there. And Jacob was a very wealthy guy at this point in time. Very, very wealthy. His own cattle had grown. He inherited from his dad Isaac, who had inherited from Abraham. They had an immense amount of wealth. These were not poor Bedouin people. These were extremely wealthy people in Canaan. So the 10 sons, they assemble this caravan, and they go down, and they kept Benjamin there. Jacob didn't want to let Benjamin go because that was his only son left from his beloved wife. She had two. Benjamin was the youngest, and then Joseph was the older of Rachel's two sons. So the text that we looked at last week in Genesis 42, verses 6 to 9, said that Joseph was the ruler over Egypt. And in our previous lessons, we'd seen how he ascended to the throne by responding to the dreams that Pharaoh had and said to Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. There's going to be 7 years of plenty where there's going to be bumper crops. You need to save that grain, because there's going to be 7 years of famine, and you need somebody to run this economic enterprise here so that you can last through the 7 years. And that became Joseph. Joseph got chosen, as he had been chosen for many overseer jobs throughout his life. The Hebrew word for governor here is hashalit, and it's the only time it appears in Scripture. Just means somebody that's really in charge or somebody that has mastery. And they're trying to, by using a unique word, the writer of Genesis is trying to stress the uniqueness of the situation, the importance of Joseph's role, and how crucial this job was to being able to manage through the famine. Well, now we're in the famine, and Joseph had the job of even dispensing food to foreigners when they came in, but they were selling it, and they were making good money on it. And he sees his brothers come, and he hadn't seen them for 20 years, and they bowed down before him because they had to go through him and to ask for food. I'm not sure that the people within Egypt had to do this, but the foreigners at least had to do this. So they come and they bow down to him, and it must have just caused him to be unnerved, because he had dreams 20 years ago. Actually, it was 23 years ago now. And he had these dreams of his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. And he was the ruler, and he was telling them innocently about this, and they got envious, and that's what caused him to get sold into slavery. The brothers hated him so much they wanted to kill him. And here he is reliving these dreams and watching his brothers bow down to him in the court of Pharaoh. He was the second highest in command of that government, and that was the most powerful nation on earth at that time. This was not even like a vice president that we have today. Pharaoh put him in charge of these things with autonomy to carry out this economic plan to save Egypt. His first reaction to seeing them is he starts speaking harshly to them because they hurt him so bad. It's a natural reaction. You're angry. You want to get it out. And he lashes out at them and asks them, where did they come from? And accuses them of being spies, that they came in here to check out the unfortified parts of his kingdom so they could steal food from them. And he starts to test them. They get afraid of him. Now they came for food. They thought they could buy food. They had a lot of money to pay for the food, and they're getting fearful now. And they say, look, we're just here to buy food. We're not here to steal it. And in order to affirm this, they tell him, look, we're just the sons of one man here. It's not like we're, you know, sent by some government. Would a government send one family? I mean, no, you know, government's not going to do that. They're going to send a number of different people as emissaries. So we're not spies. We're not spies. Joseph responds, yes, you are spies. He really believes they're spies, at least to them. He's telling them that. And he's expressing this anger and this pain and this hurt. And they are getting upset about this whole thing. And they start blabbering, if you will. And they're talking about their family of 12 brothers. One is not. They don't say he's dead. They just say he's not. And it's a Hebrew word, achaknu. It meaning just disappeared, just gone. It's like when Enoch got raptured in early Genesis, the same term was used. And they're saying, one is with our dad and the rest are here. And Joseph says, nope, you guys are spies, but I have a test for you to validate your claims here. He's not saying that they're not innocent. He just says that he wants to do this. He says, look, I'm going to hold you captive here, and one of you can go back to Canaan. And then bring your younger brother here. And he puts them into a huge dilemma. If they refuse to do this, they're thinking they could probably get killed right then. Here's the second most powerful guy in the world telling me this. And he says, and if we go back, and he said, our father's not going to let Benjamin go. No way. He kept him back this first time. He's not going to let him go. And if we don't come back with the food, he says, man, they're all going to die back there. We don't know what to do. So interestingly, what Joseph does is he sticks them in a jail for 3 days and lets them hash this out amongst themselves. And you can only imagine the discussion about what they were talking about, how they were complaining about each other. No, you caused this. No, you did it. It's not me. It's you. And after the 3 days were up, Joseph starts to take a little bit of pressure off of them. And he says, look, I'm a God-fearing man. And he uses a generic word here in the Hebrew. It's Elohim, which by itself just refers to a generic God. It doesn't necessarily refer to Yahweh God or Jehovah God or God the Father, if you will. And he doesn't reveal that he knows the Hebrew God, our God of the Bible. And he's basically saying to them, look, I'm not going to imprison you. We don't have any evidence here, but I'm not going to punish you. But I'm going to keep one of you here and send the rest of you back for food. And if they're honest, he says, you guys will bring this younger brother back with you. And and you won't die. You'll get food. We're not going to harm you. So the brothers start to speak amongst themselves in Hebrew, not realizing that Joseph is with them and understands Hebrew because they've been speaking through an interpreter this whole time. He knows everything that they're doing. And these guys start to quarrel again with each other. So they attribute this whole incident that is going that they're going through right now with what they did to Joseph years ago. They realize what they've done, and they said, you know, if this hadn't happened, if we hadn't done that, then this wouldn't have happened. They're blaming each other, and Reuben says, wait a minute, I'm the one that tried to stop this, and you wouldn't listen to me. Joseph is crying out over in divine retribution for our sins. And they don't even know that that's Joseph. They're just thinking Joseph's dead by now, probably dead. So Joseph, can you imagine? Here he is after all these years. He's sitting there listening to this, and he just can't handle it. He turns away. He gets away from him, and he just cries to get it out. And he gets it all out, and then he goes back in front of them, and he says, okay, I'm going to bind Simeon. And he takes Simeon, and he binds Simeon. And they put Simeon in jail. Now, there's a lot of speculation on why Simeon was chosen, but Simeon was one of the worst at the time that Jacob was originally cast into that well, and he cried out, and Simeon didn't care. Simeon wanted to kill him. And if you remember, when Dina got raped, it was Simeon that went back with Levi, and they slaughtered all the guys in Shechem. Simeon's not a real nice guy, in other words. So he probably took Simeon because of those reasons. And without their knowledge, he sends them back with the grain, but he puts the money they paid for it back in their sacks. He gives them the money back, and they don't know this. And he's really trying to shake them up when he does this. Now, for today's message, the brothers go back to Canaan to meet with Jacob. And the text in chapter 42, verses 26 to 34 state, "And they laden their asses with their grain and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the lodging place, he espied his money, and behold, it was in the mouth of his sack. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it's even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they turned trembling one to another, saying, what is this that God hath done to us? And they came unto Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had befallen them, saying, the man, the lord of the land, spake roughly with us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, and we are no spies. We are 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the land, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren with me, and take grain for the famine of your houses, and go your way. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land." So the brothers, they set out for Canaan without Simeon. And they still don't realize that it's Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, that they've been dealing with here. And this, they're going back to Hebron, and it's about 250 miles. It's going to take them about a three-week journey. I put a map in your notes so that you can roughly see what the distance there is. You can only imagine them finding this money in one of the sacks and getting afraid and starting to step up the pace to get farther away from Egypt, because they're probably thinking, man, somebody's going to come and get us. Somebody's going to accuse us now of even being thieves. And they didn't have, it was a camping place they were at. I don't know why the English translations called it an inn or a lodging or something, because it's not. It's a camping place. Meloni is the Hebrew word there. So they find the money when they're going to feed one of their animals. And they get really upset about this. They start to panic. But it's interesting is how they start to acknowledge the root source of all of their problems. It's God that is causing this to happen? What is this that God hath done unto us? They start to realize that God is in control of this. God knows what they've done, and God is punishing them. It's going to be a slow process here, reconciling with Joseph. It's going to take all the way to the end of this book of Genesis. And even then, the brothers are going to be doubtful that Joseph has really forgiven them. So the governor is accusing them of being spies, and now they're concerned about being dubbed as thieves as well. You know, God was using Joseph to break their hard hearts. Their hearts were just hardened, and he was using Joseph to go through this process to break them. The Egyptian governor has got Simeon, and they tell him, and he wants Benjamin as well. And Jacob just flies off the handle. He's really upset now. He says, and they say to him, look, if we bring Benjamin back, then they'll know we're not supplies, and they'll release Simeon, and we can move around in the land of Egypt all that we want. That's the word traffic doesn't just mean what we use it for. It's a term that means free discourse, free movement around someplace. And so they're telling Jacob, hey, this is what we have to do. Jacob just refuses. This is what the text shows, continuing in verse 35. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me? Have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he only is left. If harm befall him by the way in which ye go, then will ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. So they come home, they start to relate their experiences to Joseph. They tell Joseph that this money was in their sack. And when they opened all of their sacks, then they saw all their money. Now they're really in a panic. You know, it could have been a mistake, something maybe wasn't quite right with just finding it in one sack, but now all of their money had been restored. And now they're thinking that this may be a setup, you know. We are definitely going to be called thieves if we go back there now. So Jacob, he's just not even going to consider this. No way. He's acting in a very emotional way about not wanting to lose his son. He says, that's all there is to it. He's not thinking through this logically because they don't have any food. They got a minimal amount of fruit and some spices and things. They don't have any food. He's just looking at this strictly, I'm not giving up my son. I'm not going to do that. He wasn't being logical about it, and we understand that. Who wants to give up their kid for an unknown quantity in a different country that says, we will give you food, but I want that young son? You know, what's going on? Why do you want my young son? So this is largely an emotional gesture that Reuben makes about saying, look, if you give me Benjamin to take him back and something happens, you can kill my two kids. Jacob's not going to kill his two kids. All Jacob says is, you're just causing me so much distress. He says, then will ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. And notice he says down to Sheol. He doesn't say up to Sheol. You remember from previous studies that in the Old Testament times, there were two compartments to Sheol, a good and a bad side. And what Jacob is essentially saying, you know, you guys are just causing me so much distress. You're going to send me down to the bad side of Sheol. Well, after a little more time, things begin to change. The text moves on, Genesis 43, verses 1 to 7. And it says, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye even had a brother? And they said, the man asked straightly concerning ourselves and concerning our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we do any wise know that he would say, bring your brother down? So the effects of the famine are really starting to work on them now. This is how God gets us to move. He changes our circumstances to force us into doing something. You know, there's an old saying that when God closes a door, he opens a window, or vice versa. Well, that's what he does. That's what he's doing here. He's cutting off the food, forcing them to go down there, forcing Jacob to change his mind. And he says to his kids, well, just go get a little more. As if to say, you know, maybe you won't have to go in front of that guy, and I don't want to deal with this issue of Benjamin. Maybe if you just want a little bit of food, you can just go down there and get that. And Judas just speaks up and says, wait a minute, the governor was resolved not to give us anything, and we got to go through him unless Benjamin comes back. There's no way they can get the food without Benjamin. And the text here starts to use Jacob's new name, Israel. And Jacob just explodes, and he says, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether he had a brother? In other words, why did you even tell him he had a brother? You know, why do we got to go there? Why do we have to do this? And Judah just responds by saying, hey, look, this is not my doing. I didn't just volunteer this stuff. He asked me about my family. I had to do it. And he says, look, you're not going to get any food. He told us we're not going to get any food unless Simeon goes to jail and we come back with Benjamin. Now, Jacob is truly upset over this, but Jacob also knew what that Abrahamic covenant was, because that was the glory of Israel that had been passed down to them. And he must have been thinking that if they go down to Israel, or if they go down to Egypt, excuse me, from Israel, they're going to be down there for a long, long time. And you remember back to Genesis 15, where the text says, and he said, meaning Jehovah God, unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So Jacob must have been thinking about this as well. This does not look good. I'm concerned about Benjamin. We need food. I can't get out of this situation. And I know that my grandfather got this enormous covenant from God telling him that we are going to go down there someday and stay for 400 years and be afflicted. So he's got a lot of resistance to even thinking about this and wanting to do it. But at the same time, they don't have any food. They got a little bit of fruit left. That's it. So they're forced into doing this. So Judah now starts to plead with Jacob. And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I'll be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, then set him before me. Let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely we had now returned a second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it be so, now do this. Take of the choice fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spicery and myrrh and nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was returned in the mouths of your sacks, carry again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release unto you your other brother and Benjamin. And if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. So Judah starts to plead with Jacob, and Judah's in the best position to do this of all the brothers too. He's affirming the necessity to do this. You got to do this. There's no way we're going to get food unless you do this. And Simeon's not going to be released. This won't go well. He's just telling him, Dad, you got to do this. You know, I don't like it either, basically, but we got to do this. And, you know, they may have been imprisoned. They may have been killed going back there as thought of as thieves, not just spies. But the famine was worsening, and they were all going to die, even the little ones, the little children, if they didn't go get this food. And in fact, Judah says, we should have already gone back there by now. This is really late going back. We should have done this. If, you know, he was trying to be kind. He wasn't saying, well, Dad, if it wasn't for you, you know, we'd have been back there getting the food already. But that was really what the blockage was. And they were kind of working with him, waiting for him to change. And the food, the famine really did it. That's what caused him. And Judah says, you know, if this doesn't work out, he says, I'll take all the responsibility forever. And, you know, it's almost an empty response like Reuben's. You know, there's not much he can do. You know, if he loses a couple of brothers, well, how's he going to make up for that? But Jacob's listening to him because Judah is coming at him very empathetically. You remember, Judah lost two sons. He knew what it was like to lose a child, two of them. So Jacob's listening to him. And the famine was worsening, and they had to do this. Otherwise, they were all going to be faced with starvation. Judah was experienced. He was empathetic. Jacob then relinquishes and says, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. He instructs his sons to gather the finest fruits that are available, a little bit, because they don't have much, and to present them to the Egyptian governor. And then he also says, along with balm, honey, spices, as well as myrrh, nuts, and almonds. There must have been a limited amount of these commodities in Canaan. Just a limited amount, but not enough to sustain life. They had to go back to Egypt to get the grain. And it's interesting, is, you know, the there's two real practical reasons for them doing, for Jacob doing this. One, he thought it would appease this governor that they would have to get in front of. And two, the balm, spicery, and ladanum, which was what these other ones are called, they weren't available in Egypt. Because if you remember back to when Joseph was abducted, the Ishmaelites were traders, and they were on the way to Egypt to trade these things to the Egyptians. So Jacob knew that this was something desirable. You know, you can't give this guy gold and silver. He's got all the gold and silver in the world. I mean, he's the second most powerful guy in the world. But if you give him things in honor, a little bit of precious fruit that we have here, and give them these things that they can't get easily, maybe that'll soften his heart. Maybe that'll be better for us. They were highly desirable. And he's also saying, perhaps this is just an oversight, you know, that this money got stuck in the sacks there. I can't imagine what kind of an oversight that would be. Have you ever been to a merchant where they sell you something and put your money back in your bag? I don't think so. He's just trying to, you know, he's trying to get himself psyched up to do this and let Benjamin go and let these guys go back. But they needed the food. They needed the food. Finally, Jacob says, okay, take Benjamin with you. And in doing so, he invokes the most powerful name in the scripture for God, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the powerful God, the God Almighty. And he's asking God to provide a safe return of Benjamin, Simeon, and the rest of his sons, along with that food. Jacob was put into a situation where he was out of control. He couldn't control the events, and that's exactly where God wanted him to be. Because God was moving that family down to Egypt, where they would stay for 400 years. They were going to learn about reconciliation down there with Joseph. They were going to learn to be a nation. They would become a powerful nation, the Israelites. as a result of being in that cauldron in Egypt, it would be forged and refined. But this was out of his hands, and he was very disturbed about it. Shall we pray?